Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. And today we're going to take a look at the early wide receiver rankings. That's right. Where's the ECR stand? But more importantly, where are those tier drop-offs? Because it's not enough to know the rankings. You got to know where the drop-off is in terms of the very super talent and the elite talent, the top tiers, and so on and so forth. So to help take a quick look here at the top 50 wide receivers, Andrew Erickson is going to join us on the show. And from Yahoo, Dalton Del Dom, we're going to compare their ranks, see what the differences are to the ECR and each other. So it should be a good time here. And if you want to see these ranks live right in front of you, then subscribe to our YouTube channel again if you haven't already. So youtube.com/fantasypros and click that little bell till it goes ding for notifications. You know, every time a piece of content drops on the channel, we've got amazing short form content, long form content. We just did a mock draft episode with Justin Boone. That's going to drop too. Some amazing stuff going on. So let's get after it and let's start at the very top over on the ECR on fantasypros.com. And you can check it out. Fantasypros.com/rankings, of course. Justin Jefferson at the top with Ja'Marr Chase in tier one. It's got two other wide receivers in there too, Cooper Kupp and Tyreek Hill. Now, interesting enough, if we're looking at the two guys' rankings here, Dalton, you've got Cooper Kupp as your number three in the elite tier. Andrew Erickson does not. So you are a little bit more, I would say, confident that Cooper Kupp bounces back. And maybe more importantly, Matthew Stafford does as well to get Cooper Kupp back into the good graces of the first round.
Yeah, normally I'm after the younger guys and Kupp's approaching 30. But man, he was the number one PPR scorer per game last year. And that's even with him leaving the final game very early. I mean, he was on pace for 150 catches, even a better reception season in 2021. So yes, Matthew Stafford's health is absolutely key here, but I mean, no Allen Robinson, not that he was successful there, but Kupp is just going to get all the targets on a team with a really bad defense and really no other answers on offense. So I get that Jefferson and Chase have more upside at this stage of their career, but man, in PPR, again, he led in PPR points per game last year, and that's with him leaving right away week 10, and there's just no one else there playing indoors. And if Stafford's feeling well, I'd expect another monster PPR year.
Erickson, you're getting closer and closer to 30. Are you getting worried about people replacing you or thinking less of you, or no? You're still okay.
Well, I'm very concerned about my back, and when I... My birthday's actually next week. I'm turning 29, and I'm very afraid that I'm going to wake up. My back's going to hurt even more.
Yeah, wait till you get to 40, big guy.
Wait till you get to 40 is out. You took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah. There you go. So, Erickson, let's talk about the other side of Cooper Kupp. Now, you still have him obviously ranked pretty aggressively, obviously, as most of us do, but you don't have him in that elite tier. He's in that next tier for you. So what's keeping him out of that S tier for you in terms of the superlative group?
It's Stafford. It's really Stafford's health and how he's going to bounce back from his own injury. I mean, Cooper Kupp's coming off an injury as well. So it's just those concerns. And that's the difference between putting Cooper Kupp in the same tier as Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, where I really don't have any concerns whatsoever. Like, they both have good quarterbacks from an accuracy standpoint. They're in good offenses. They're on good teams in general. So the Vikings defense isn't great. So I expect the Vikings to throw the ball a lot like they did last year. The Bengals are going to throw the ball a lot no matter what. The Rams are probably going to throw the ball a lot. But what is that going to end up resulting in? You know, what is this Rams offense really going to look like? And yes, is Cooper Kupp going to get a ton of targets? Of course. But what's the efficiency going to be like? What if it is Stenson Benton that's under center? You know, again, a PPR, he can make up ground. But I think in a half PPR setting, now I'm starting to have conversations about some of these top running backs versus Cooper Kupp, whereas Jefferson, Chase are 1-2 for me, basically in any format.
All right. Now we're getting to the A tier guys here. These are guys that are still obviously wide receiver ones in fantasy. Still over on the half point ECR on Fantasy Pros, you've got Diggs, you've got Adams, CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown. All those guys kind of make sense. When we look at that second tier for you guys, though, too, in A, Dalton, you've got Jaylen Waddle, who's a player that, look, since he came into the league, I was very high on. I had all kinds of shares of him. I drafted him everywhere his rookie season as a wide receiver 4. And boy, did that work out for me. Last year, the price was more, but he still delivered. So you've got him still pretty aggressively ranked here. He is in that A tier for you, along with Tyreek Hill. I'm sure a lot of that has to do with confidence of Tua playing a full season. So basically, is that the deal here? Tua plays a full season. And once again, we've got Jaylen Waddle finishing as a top guy.
Yeah, it's another bet on the quarterback staying healthy and obviously a risk with Tua, but man, was leading the world with 8.9 YPA last year when he was healthy, Tua. And just the splits are just dramatic. So without Tua, Jalen Waddle had a 16.5% target per route run rate, 1.5 yards per route run. That jumps to 25.4% with Tua and 3.14 yards per route run, which, you know, is elite. You know, only one better than him, I said, was Tyreek Hill. So if Tua can stay healthy, and then obviously, what if Tyreek Hill got hurt too? I mean, then Waddle's upside is just really through the roof. So yeah, it's just another bet on the quarterback staying healthy here. And I can understand why someone would have reservations that Tua is not going to last, you know, a full season given his history. But that's my bet.
Andrew, what about your reservations when it comes to Waddle? You've got him in that next tier in the B grouping for you. So you're just a tad lower than Dalton. But again, I think it's an interesting conversation because it's kind of hitting on a theme, which is we love the players. We love some of the talent. In Cup situation, it's more than one injury. In Waddle situation, it's really the quarterback health that is paramount to him returning fantasy value. So are you dropping him for that? Or are you dropping him just because you're not sure if this offense can continue to click on all the cylinders that it did last year?
Well, I'm not so sure I feel super confident putting him in the same tier as Tyreek Hill. To me, Tyreek Hill is the alpha in that passing game. So why should we have them in the same tier? And I think it makes sense from a perspective of drafting is if you do have them in the same tier, then why would you ever draft Tyreek Hill over Jalen Waddle if you can get Jalen Waddle so much cheaper? So that's the way I kind of see it. Whereas like right now, like I'm definitely going to be taking Tyreek Hill well ahead of Jalen Waddle, which is why I have him in this tier. And the same thing that goes with, I think kind of alluding to one of the next players you're going to talk about is AJ Brown and Devonta Smith. It's the same thing. But I do think that that gap is probably a little bit closer just when we look at the target share between AJ Brown and Devonta Smith last year. I mean, basically if you remove the first week of the season, it was basically equal across the board. Like both guys were commanding a 25% plus target share in that offense. And I mean, Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle are both super talented guys. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if either of them were to overtake their veteran counterpart on their own offense, or at least match them. But for right now, when I'm viewing these teams and these players, I'm not going to put them in the same tier when there's one guy that looks like the alpha and the other guy is the secondary option.
Well, that's fair. I mean, the interesting part is that last year, both of those guys worked in that secondary role, quote unquote, as you're addressing, but both finished as wide receiver one. So you could still finish as a wide receiver one in fantasy, depending on the offense you play in. And I know you are not too tough on these guys. You just have them a little bit lower. You've got Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith as tier B. He is the last guy in your tier B, Dalton. So when you're looking at Devonta Smith, is this another situation where, again, it's putting it all in on the offense, but because the offense is so good, you think that they can make not one, but two wide receiver ones yet again?
Listen, Andrew, talk. I could see moving Tyreek into my tier one here. I know these are just semantics, but I get his point with the Waddle. Waddle's definitely behind Tyreek here. But I'd argue Devonta Smith and AJ Brown are very close. And I'm even tempted to take Smith earlier, although you can get him a whole round later. So why would you not? But in six of the final eight games last year, Smith out-targeted AJ Brown. He was a wide receiver five in PPR, gigantic air yardage share. In the playoffs, they both had a 26.8% target share. So I think they're Devonta Smith actually led all receivers in his targets per route run rate out of the slot. So I think they're very similar productions you could project moving forward. And both are injury risk. Devonta Smith's obviously small, and reportedly he was still in a walking boot from that injury he suffered in the Super Bowl like 6 weeks later. But obviously AJ Brown's had his issues as well, and he's a year older. So love both these guys. I like Smith's price as a whole round later in ADP. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I ended up with him in a mock draft just the other day, too. Again, the price of these guys, too, that Waddle. And if you're going to go early RB, then you're probably gonna be looking at the Waddles and Smiths and those guys to kind of repeat what they did last year. So that's an interesting piece to remember, depending upon what your draft strategy might be. Continuing on in the next tier over at fantasypros.com, you've got Garrett Wilson, and you guys both are very high on him, understandably so. Jalen Waddle, T. Higgins, Devonta Smith, who we just were talking about, Chris Olave, and DK Metcalf. So this kind of tracks with where you guys have those players. DK Metcalf, a little bit lower down the trough for you, Dalton. Maybe let's touch on DK Metcalf. I know it feels like we've gotten a lot of good DK Metcalf fantasy productivity, but yet it feels like we're almost still getting cheated every year. It feels like that maybe the consistency of whether or not they're playing a team that's man coverage or a team that plays defense with more of the looking at zone coverages, you could pretty much set your watch last year to Seattle if it was going to be a Lockett game or DK Metcalf game. So when it comes now to trying to evaluate this team, now that they've brought in another wide receiver, Is that why DK kind of knocks down a peg for you this year?
Yes, he's historically relied more on volume than Lockett when you look at the efficiency ranks. And Lockett, I know he runs more in the slot, so there may be more of an overlap with JSN, but his targets per, his yards per out run actually increases when he moves to the outside. So I think Lockett's going to be fine. I know he's 31. People are a little concerned about his age. I faded him and was totally wrong on both these guys last year. I thought their offense would be a problem. It was anything but. But now I'm kind of still on board with Lockett, and it's unclear how they're going to do this 12 versus 11 personnel. You know, how much is JSN going to see the field right away? But absolutely, in the drafts I've been early, I've seen Metcalf go. I'm like, ooh, I'm not even willing to entertain him there. I'm worried about his production dropping with JSN addition is basically where my stance is with him. And it seems to me that the market is more concerned with Lockett and his age, and because he plays the slot more.
Understandably so. When you're looking at this, Andrew, when it comes to DK Metcalf, you guys are pretty in lockstep here. Do you echo what Dalton has to say about DK, or do you feel a little differently of how this mix with Lockett and JSN could work itself out in 2023?
Yeah, Metcalf's a tough guy to tier and to rank, I think, because he's very, I think that he's clearly more talented than Tyler Lockett, but when you just look at the numbers, it doesn't matter because they basically do the exact same thing. Lockett outscored Metcalf last year. And if it wasn't that, and then the year before that, it's like they're putting up identical numbers. And the only difference is you can just always draft Lockett like four rounds after you can draft DK Metcalf, because he doesn't have this big body and this is imposing will on the outside and does all these crazy things on the field, whereas Lockett just goes out, produces, falls down, misses, doesn't get tackled, like those types of plays. So for me, I put Metcalf up here, but at the same time, I'm thinking like, I'm probably just going to draft one of the other Seahawks receivers like much later on. But I know that if any of these guys, particularly if Geno Smith has another efficiency season with touchdowns, like Metcalf is going to be the guy to catch his double digit touchdowns. I don't think it would be JSN. I don't think it would be Lockett. Like last year, Metcalf tied Justin Jefferson in terms of red zone targets per game. And he did not necessarily convert them at the same rate he was receiving them. And that's how you see guys jump up into the top five receivers, is when they score a double-digit touchdown. So I think that's really why I have Metcalf that high up. But from a value standpoint, it's really hard not to look past him and be like, I'm just going to draft Lockett. I'm going to draft the rookie, because I could see both those guys meet each reaching the same amount of target volume that Metcalf gets.
Yeah, I could certainly see where you're coming from on that. It's going to be one of those situations you definitely have to monitor throughout the year, and it could evolve too. Certainly an injury would play a huge part into anybody in terms of those targets getting a little easier to figure out, but it looks like it could be a complicated situation this year in Seattle, a little bit more so than recently, and maybe that's gonna be frustrating for somebody, one of these guys in that Seattle wide receiving core. When we continue on here to the next group, the C tier, this is where things kind of open up here, and this is where we start to get a lot more difference, because you have, you know, pretty much those top tier guys. We can quibble about maybe one spot here, two spots there, little differences. But here we go, where we have massive differences between the guys and the ECR and each other even. So I want to talk about these guys, because in C over on Fantasy Pros, you've got Amari Cooper, who, you know, certainly looking forward to a full season with Deshaun Watson. There's upside for him to move up a tier. Debo Samuel, who's coming off kind of a tough year. He's had a lot of injuries in the past, had some injury issues last year. We don't know who's going to play quarterback for San Fran. Keenan Allen coming off an injury year. DJ Moore. I mean, you can see where I'm going here. There's so many questions, and I think that's why these guys end up in this tier, because we don't know where DJ Moore is going to be. DeAndre Hopkins, we know where he's going to be, at least for now. He is going to be in Arizona in this tier. Now, Dalton, you've still got him as a tier B wide receiver. I can only assume based on track record, but when we look at Andrew, you've got him as a C. So, Dalton, why are you a little higher still on DeAndre Hopkins? Because this offense looks like it's going to be a pretty tough sell in fantasy, but do you see Hopkins getting moved on? Is that why you still have him ranked where you do?
I honestly switched that last minute. I had him lower and I regret it. It's just that the target, he's still a target hog when he's on the field, and he'll likely, I still,
well, that's a good argument.
To get traded.
He's still a target hog.
Yeah. And I do expect him to get traded still, but I don't want to like defend Hopkins. I doubt I'll end up drafting him. He's on the, you know, the downside of his career. And I'm a more be aggressive. Maybe I did it just because I wanted my guy Ayuk at the top of the next tier is why I wanted to do it, to be, I'm more aggressive on Ayuk than I am wanting to be bullish on Hopkins. It's just, he was a target hog when on the field. And I do, if you had to make me guess, I would say he does get traded before the start of the season.
Oh, well, obviously that would change the rankings quite a bit. Andrew, let's say he doesn't get traded. Let's say he ends up just sticking it out here with the Cardinals. We always talk volume is king, but the quality of that volume should matter, shouldn't it? And obviously the quality of that volume in Arizona it's a little touch and go, don't you think, Andrew?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you don't know who's going to be starting week one. It could be Colt McCoy. It could be Clayton Tune. It's probably not going to be Kyler Murray. And if the Cardinals lose a bunch of games to start the year, why rush Kyler Murray back? You know, hey, he may not even be their quarterback. He may never take another snap for the Cardinals ever again. Like, they could just not play him this year, get the number one overall pick, draft Caleb Williams, and trade Kyler away. So I think it's in their best interest to lose as many games as possible. And that doesn't necessarily suggest a lot of fantasy goodness, especially in half PPR, where you're not really getting as many points for, oh, well, he just racked a bunch of receptions. Well, that's not necessarily as good or as useful in half PPR versus a full point PPR.
Totally agree. This regime is ready to move on, man. I fear, mm-hmm. as a Niner fan, I'm totally fear Caleb Williams going there next year.
Glad you said it, Dalton, because I was going to say, I'm sure there's going to be people who watch this video and in the comments below, you're crazy. They just signed Kyler Murray. They're not going to move on. I don't know about that. I really don't. I think new regime comes in. They have a different evaluation system. I think they were caught between a rock and a hard place with the Kyler Murray injury. And I think that, and the contract situation and all, everything kind of coming up at the same time. And now there's every reason to believe that if I get that number one pick, that there's a lot of teams that might be in the market for Kyler Murray, and they could have the best of both worlds. So I don't think this is nearly a hot take as some other people might as well. So, and I also don't think Kyler Murray is going to play this year. Maybe that's a hot take too. By the time you get to week 10, how relevant are the Cardinals going to be? And do you even push him? Because if you are going to trade him, the last thing you want is a re-injury or anything like that. Maybe at the end of the season, a couple weeks, maybe you get that just approved to other teams. That I could see, but I wouldn't be drafting a lot of Kyler Murray shares in 2023. Let's continue on here.
I want to say I've been kind of targeting Hollywood as well, with me thinking that Hopkins is going to get traded. It looked more likely before the draft, but we might be stuck with Clayton Tune throwing him the whole season even then. So it's hard to even get any arbitrage there with that.
You will see Clayton Tune, I think, at some point. I agree with you. I think at some point he is going to show up and play some games here, because, you know, injuries happen too. I mean, might not just be Colt McCoy healthy season for 10 weeks. You know, the NFL is a tough place. It's tough business. It's a tough place to go to work every day. There's another guy, though, that is in this grouping as we continue on. So in this same grouping on Fantasy Pros and the UCR, you got McLaurin, Drake London, who I'm very high on. Then Chris Godwin and Jerry Jeudy. Now, these two, again, these are kind of polarizing players when it comes to the guys' rankings, which is really interesting. So, Dalton, you've got Jeudy as a tier B guy. Now, last year, we know historically bad how bad the Denver Broncos really, truly were. But we step back and look at what they did. Offensively, I know we're excited that Peyton is there and hopefully he could turn things around. It seems like maybe a little of that cautious optimism is built into your ranking here. But I kind of look at it the same way. Somebody's got to catch the football. He is the best of this group, I believe. So do you think it's just a matter of, hey, the best guy is going to get the most targets, let's not overthink this, even if the offense is still a work in progress?
Yeah, I've always been a Jeudy guy, and I think Sean Payton will get the best out of him. Although there's some concern that, you know, Mims is Payton's guy, and there's, you know, rumors of Sutton or Jeudy going to be moved. And Matt Harmon, my podcast partner, doesn't love the route running of Jeudy as much as others. So maybe I should pump my brakes. But I don't know. I expect him to blow up. If you look at the same amount of times that Sutton and Jeudy have been on the field together, Jeudy has put up more than 120 PPR points more than Sutton. Sutton just may not ever recover from that knee injury. Mims is a rookie. So I think Jeudy is going to dominate the targets. Russell Wilson will probably bounce back some. He showed some signs at the end of last year. He claims he's rededicated the offseason into his getting into the best shape. So I don't know. There's some optimism there. I just think Judy's a good football player, and he's going to settle in the next few years as a top 25 fantasy wideout.
And the great thing about these conversations now is, you know, if you're doing best ball, if you're doing, you know, things like Fantasy Bros Championship, which if you don't know what that is, again, fantasybros.com/championship, it's $1 million prize, the FFPC Fantasy Bros Championship that we're doing this year. And if you use that promo code Fantasy Bros, you get $25 off the entry. But all these conversations where you see opportunity with players like Jeudy, who might be a little under market valued, guys like maybe DK Metcalf, a little under market valued, and some other names as we continue to talk about them, that's a great place to take advantage of some of these conversations that we're having on the show. So again, fantasybros.com/championship, go take advantage of those situations and go join one of those leagues. And, you know, who knows, maybe you could win $1 million just based off some of these early looks that we're giving you. When it comes to Jerry Jeudy here for you, Andrew, you've got him in a different spot. You've actually got him after DeAndre Hopkins in your ranks. He is in the C tier. So you have him in the same tier as the Fantasy Pros ECR does, but you're lower than Dalton. So I know last time you and I were chatting, this Denver Broncos offense came up, and I didn't realize just how historically bad they were. But how much better can they be in 2023? And is Judy a big part of the reason why they would be better?
Well, you know what they say about rock bottom, Joe? It's only where you can go is up. So the Denver Broncos, after being the league's worst offense last year in points per game, they can only score more points than they did last year. It just regression is going to take place, even with this Sean Payton coming in. I mean, just how bad they were on the road last year, just because of the way that the offense was set up, the way that the head coaching was set up. Just, it's going to be better at some point, even if it's still below average, it's going to be better. So yeah, I do think that Jerry Jeudy would definitely be a big part of that. I just don't think Jerry Jeudy has like a safe floor, to be totally honest. Mm-hmm. Like there are just the way that he plays, it's a lot of inconsistency. It's kind of like what he's been. Like it's been big flashes here and there, but really never put together the final product. And okay, is this 2023 version of Russell Wilson going to now put Jerry Jeudy in the driver's seat to become a top 12 fantasy wide receiver? Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's in his range of outcomes. I like his upside. I like how he finished the season last year very strong. Last six games, 25% target share, fifth in receiving yards from week 10 onward. He led the NFL in yards per route run. I like all those things. But at the same time, it's a brand new coaching regime. Like, what's this offense going to look like? So I understand the breakout potential, but I also understand the bottomless floor that could potentially be this offense and how it operates. Do they run the ball a lot? Like, is Jeudy the slot receiver? Is he operating on the outside? There's a lot of question marks, which is why I'm just not as bullish. And it's why he falls into that tier with a couple other guys like a Christian Watson. Like, I like Christian Watson a lot from a breakout potential too. And that's why I kind of have them tiered there, where they're next to other players that, okay, this guy probably offers us hay for floor, but there's no way I'm going to see, oh, DeAndre Hopkins is going to have like a breakout this year. Like, probably not. But I think Hopkins probably game by game is probably going to be more consistent than a guy like Jerry Jeudy or Christian Watson, unless they definitely break out.
There's noise in this stat. One final thing on Jeudy. He led all receivers in yards per route run against man last year. So I think there is upside and potential. I get it. A lot of soft tissue injuries and new regime, a lot of downside. I do hear that, but I still think there's a lot of upside still here too.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dalton. I still kind of go on the upside of the player that I saw play in Alabama, that, you know, I just think he's the best of this group at the end of the day. He's not perfect, but again, the best of the group typically ends up being the alpha in the offense. There's one group that I want to talk about, because the next guy on this list is Chris Godwin, who's right after Jeudy in the ECR. Now, Andrew, this one fascinates me, because I thought you'd be all out when it comes to Godwin, but you've got him in your B tier. Dalton has him in his C tier, which is where the ECR does. So I'm fascinated by this. Why is Godwin still holding true for you, considering all of his injuries and the enormous downgrade year over year in his quarterback situation, Erickson?
Well, he got hurt last year coming into last season, and he got hurt week one. He came back week four and then basically played the rest of the year, weeks 4 through 17. He was wide receiver seven overall, wide receiver 10 in points per game. Now, a lot of it was just a lot of empty volume, but what are we expecting this year from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Yeah, they're not going to throw as much as they did with Tom Brady, but they're still probably going to be an above average offense in terms of pass attempts per game. It's not like they can run the ball. They showed us last year they couldn't run the ball at all. So even with Baker Mayfield, Kyle Trask, like, I still think that Godwin's going to lead this team in targets. And he's a top 10 wide receiver in fantasy before. Like, he's done this with other quarterbacks before. It's not just been, oh, well, Godwin was a product of Brady. No, like, Godwin has done this with Jameis Winston. He's done it with a bunch of different quarterbacks.
With Jameis Winston, he did this. But now we're talking about Baker Mayfield, possibly. I mean, this is, you know.
Last year, I was fading the Seahawks, and I was wrong. Like, that totally burnt me. And that's kind of the thing I'm thinking about with Godwin here. It's where he's discounted so much, despite the fact that he's such a clear alpha in this Now, it's different between Mike Evans. Like, Mike Evans, I don't want any part of, because I think that he needs more accurate quarterback play to really pay off. And he's already boom bust enough. Whereas Godwin, I mean, look, the only time we've ever seen Baker Mayfield good with anybody was Jarvis Landry, who was a slot receiver. So if there's anybody that I think could potentially be okay and return your investment on a player like Chris Godwin, it would be Godwin. And I just think that he's still good. He's another year removed from his ACL injury. Like, last year, he honestly never looked right. Like, he looked like he was not really that explosive after the catch, like we've traditionally seen him. But he's only 27 years old. So I look at him as, like, why am I going to take Keenan Allen or a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, who are over the age of 30, that are all volume-based receivers, when I can just take Chris Godwin at 27 years old, where he's such the clear alpha in this passing game?
Dalton, you've got Mike Evans, ironically, as we just kind of talking about all these Tampa guys at one time. You've got him ranked ahead of Chris Godwin in your rankings. You've got him in your C tier, whereas Andrew has him all the way in the F tier. Fantasy Pros ECR is, you know, a little bit more in the middle here. He's in the D tier. So Let's talk about Mike Evans and Chris Godwin for you. And it seems like you're a little bit more, I would say, comfortable making the investment in these two guys, despite the fact that you don't have Tom Brady. So anything that you have in the last couple of years on these guys, you got to throw out the window, because this is a whole new set of circumstances in terms of quarterback of what they're dealing with. So do you feel comfortable drafting these two guys where you have them ranked?
I will say I disagree a little bit on this one as far as the Godwin versus Evans. Obviously, say I have Evans ranked higher. I worry a bit with Godwin, who's going to be asked to play more outside. Evans, meanwhile, was sixth in air yards last year. The dude totaled 27 touchdowns the previous 2 years. So I just think just purely in the red zone, or even down inside the 10, he'll help out fantasy managers there. And I just really worry about the quarterback situation here. So probably I'm not targeting either of these guys, but drafts I've been in, I've actually seen Godwin be more aggressively drafted, maybe more PPR, but I would wait back and get the guy who's going to be more reliable in the red zone. And I know he's a couple years older, but he's still not past 30. So not targeting either of these guys with Baker Mayfield at QB1, but absolutely feel more comfortable with Evans, even at similar prices.
Even though, like I say, the danger of Evans is, you know, you look at what he did last year, and a lot of the hope that we had was, well, he'll make good over the goal line area stuff, and as you get closer in. But if you look at the game log, he had one massive game, right, that accumulated for so much of, 207 yards, just to be specific, and 3 touchdowns. So 50% of his touchdowns last year were in one game that came in week 17, where almost nobody made the playoffs, let alone the championship with Mike Evans. So did we just see the drop-off happen in front of our eyes, Dalton?
It's very possible, but at 29, I doubt it. And I think people who follow this stuff more than me say that he looks like he's not washed, reception. I believe Evans looks like he's fine. A part of it was Brady being washed, maybe finally in decline, I guess, as much as Brady can be washed. But no, again, I'm not excited to draft either of these guys with a quarterback situation, but I think Evans's floor is just simply higher. So like Godwin was so banged up all last year too, but I personally would take Evans.
In this tier too, in this C tier on Fantasy Pros, there's so many guys that just, to me, they're glaringly more interesting, like Drake London, like Jerry Jeudy, like Christian Watson, give me these younger guys. It's funny, Tyler Lockett and Calvin Ridley at 26 and 27 also close out this group. To go to the next group here, the D tier, you got Michael Pittman Jr., obviously transitioning quarterback. That's kind of why it's all kind of wait and see here. When it comes to Pittman, Mike Williams, Christian Kirk, Brandon Ayuk, who you mentioned before here, your love for Brandon Ayuk, Dalton. Then Mike Evans shows up at 32, Deontay Johnson, Marquise Brown, Treylon Burks, George Pickens, and Jahan Dotson. Now, Dotson's an intriguing one because I think this is a player, as all of us as fantasy analysts, the more we start to look over last year, the more we start to, predict the future a little bit, I think all of us kind of say, well, Dotson's a guy that certainly does a lot of things very well at a Penn State. His numbers weren't quite as good as final year because all the quarterbacks were hurt, because that offense took a huge hit. But if you look at early on, he had a nose for the end zone. Things really started to look good. Andrew, when you look at Jahan Dotson, you've got him ranked as a D player. I know you've got him in the same spot, Dalton, but you guys are pretty on the opposite ends of that tier regardless. So Dalton's even higher on Dotson. Dalton, when you're looking at Dotson here for 2023, what are your expectations for him?
I'm kind of a Sam Howell guy, for one. You compare his stats last year, Dotson's, to Christian Watson, they're nearly identical, even beneath the surface. And yet Watson seemingly getting more hype. I get it. Terry McLaurin is probably remains the alpha there, but he goes, multiple rounds ahead of him. And Dotson could easily outscore him in fantasy points next year. So I think the concentrated targets there between those two receivers, and Dotson in year two, man, he really, really flashed and really impressed as a rookie. So absolutely wheels up on him. And Drake London, just to circle back, I have him in my tier B. So I'm with you there. I'm very bullish on him too.
Yeah, it's so funny to mention the draft capital of these guys too, because Andrew, I think that's the biggest thing. Like when you're looking at, for instance, like Ken Walker's ADP, right, the running back spot, and then I look at where Charbonnet is. Well, give me Charbonnet, because who knows how that's going to work itself out as the year goes on, health wise, just performance wise. It feels like this is that other kind of conversation too, where Dotson's going to be significantly cheaper, therefore, to me, a far more intriguing investment. You've got him a little bit lower than Dalton Del Don, but do you think that Dotson can make some strides in year two and maybe from the volume standpoint as well?
Well, I've got him in the same tier. So again, it's like, I mean, at the receiver position, like it's really easy to move guys. That's why we have the tiers, because it's so really, it's difficult to really parse between the players. And it's like, it almost comes down to ADP, where it's like, okay, whoever I can get the latest from this tier, that's the way I want to draft these receivers. Because like after a certain mark, the receivers all kind of just blend together and you're really just looking for values. But when it comes to Dotson, look, one of the best kept secrets in fantasy football is drafting number two receivers on teams, because their prices are always kept in check, because there's always that stigma like, oh, well, he's not the number one. But it doesn't matter because of the way that NFL offenses operate now, because you're seeing teams with multiple receivers command high target shares in their offenses. Yes, Terry McLaurin's a good receiver, no doubt. But like, it makes no sense to draft him so much higher ahead of Jahan Dotson when their final output probably won't actually reflect the difference in their ADP. So yeah, I would love to take Jahan Dotson as a first round talent. Like, that's the other thing too. He was a first round pick. Terry McLaurin wasn't even a first round pick. And what did we see last year from these two first round picks that were quote unquote number two receivers on their team? Oh, it was Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith, like two of the best receivers you could have drafted last year in terms of where you got them in the draft versus where they ended up finishing. So I'm not necessarily Dotson's going to be a top 12 receiver. It's going to take a lot. Unless Sam Howell delivers as, you know, the once promised first round pick.
Look, you're going to laugh at me, but if Howell falters, it wasn't like Jacoby Brissett wasn't decent for the Browns last year. Jacoby Brissett was more than decent at times where he was able to, you know,
he's not going to get two top 12 wide receivers, Joe.
No, he's not going to get two top 12 wide receivers. But if he ends up favoring one, or one has a majority of the touchdown equity, then all of a sudden it becomes a very interesting conversation. Go ahead, Dalton. I feel like you want to
say there are worse backups. It's a good point. Brissett, we're talking about some horrible quarterback situations here. They're absolutely, that's one of the best backups for sure. And Hal, some people say Hal could have gone, you know, far earlier in the draft. His numbers in college suggest he could be a starter. Yep, we're going to find out. Yeah.
We're going to find out. The guy at the top of this here on Fantasy Pros, again, fantasypros.com/rankings, if you want to see how everything's laying out here as we're talking about him, or as you're watching the tiers on the YouTube channel, Michael Pittman is at the top of this tier. Now, you've got him, Dalton, as a C-tier player, so a little bit higher up on the trough, whereas you've got him as a D in that tier, Andrew. So Pittman is, I think, a little bit of a question mark for all of us. I think we can all agree we like the player, we like the talent. We're all really excited about Anthony Richardson, but that unknown is interesting to all of us. And it leaves us in a spot where I think there's a bit of a bind where it comes to trying to rank or decipher what his value is. So Dalton, is Pittman one of these guys that the lower the cost, the more interested you are going into 2023 in drafts?
Yeah, you said it really well. I'm not even going to argue that he should be a tier higher or something. I have closer to moving him down just because of the AR. Yeah, Richardson, just a total unknown. I like the player Pittman quite a bit, but we're just both kind of, you know, we're all flying in blindly here with the quarterback situation there. So it just depends on the where Pittman falls in drafts.
Andrew, you're a little bit more definitive on this, so you seem to be a little bit more out, or should I say the value has to be really strong in terms of budget value, Andrew, for you to get in on Pittman this year. Is that because of Richardson's ability to run the football and what you think this offense is going to look like really at the end of the day?
Yeah, it goes down to, look, rookie quarterbacks are not a good bet for wide receivers. Mobile quarterbacks are not a good bet for wide receivers. And now you're combining the two. It's just not a scenario where you're pointing at.
Well,
I really just don't see a scenario where if I don't draft Michael Pittman this year, it's like, oh man, well, he totally burned me. Like, I'm going to regret not drafting Michael Pittman. It's like, he'll probably be fine. Like, maybe he beats his ADP. You draft him as wide receiver 30. He finishes wide receiver 24 because he catches a bunch of touchdowns. It's like, all right, well, that's fine. I'm not going to regret not taking him.
All right. As we get towards this last grouping here, at 38, starting this F tier, you've got Courtland Sutton, JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jordan Addison. So a lot of the rookies here, Kadarius Toney at 41, Rashad Bateman. Then you've got Gabe Davis, Brandon Cooks, Juju Smith-Schuster, Jacoby Myers now in Las Vegas, Jameson Williams, who's going to serve that suspension, but again, still ranked in the top 50, as I agree, Quentin Johnson, Darnell Mooney, and Elijah Moore. So a lot of youth here in this grouping. What I find so fascinating in terms of your rankings, guys, is where you have guys still on this board in the top 50 and where you don't. Dalton, you've got Kadarius Toney still in the F tier, still in the top 50. Let's talk about that, because I think we're all trying to put money somewhere when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver scenario. Is Kadarius Toney, in your mind, the best wager?
I don't know. He played like 8 snaps in the Super Bowl. So I don't know, maybe I have him too high, but I could just see him all, even if he's not a full complement and he does, the route tree is not there. Couldn't he just get tricked into a dozen or maybe not a dozen, but like 8 to 10 touchdowns? I mean, Hardman was like a top 20 fantasy receiver for the first month last year just because of the trickery, but I get it. There a lot has to go right. The injuries and just the development of his game. It's not quite there. And they drafted a rookie again, Rice. I like him.
I like
maybe
Rice
I have Tony too high. I mean, maybe I'll fall for the hype because you know they're already saying that he's just we haven't even targeted him deep downfield, and that's part of his repertoire. But yeah.
Well, that's why I love these conversations because I think all of us have our ideas going in, and then what's so helpful is all of like I love when smart people get in a room and. You know, and me, and I get to join the smart people. And when we all have these conversations, because I think we all come out better saying, oh, that was a good point about this. Maybe I'm too high, too low. Andrew, you don't have Kadarius Toney in your top 50, but you do have Juju Smith-Schuster in your top 50. So again, when it comes to volume, yes, quality, that's the question. But I'm kind of where you are, where Juju's still a top 50 guy for me. How do you see him in terms of value in 23?
Well, he's on the Patriots, and people don't want to draft Patriots players, so he's not going to be expensive, and he has the potential to be the number one receiver. Look, if he just goes in and becomes Jacoby Myers, then this is a win. Like, is that going to necessarily happen? I don't know. It's a brand new offense, but I expect the offense to be better now they have Bill O'Brien. You know, we looked at Jacksonville last year. What happened when they changed their coaching staff to a guy that could actually do the job that he was given to do? Oh, wow. They were a team that had a lot of fantasy success, and you go look back to Mac Jones' rookie year. A lot of success, a top 10 offense in terms of efficiency per play. So I think that the offense will be average at best. And I think Juju's just from a talent perspective, they don't have a lot of guys on that team. Like Devontae Parker, Kendrick Bourne, they're trying to find ways to get Kendrick Bourne off the field at all costs. So Juju, they paid. He's going to play a lot. So yeah, I mean, look, who's going to play more snaps next year? Juju Smith-Schuster or Kadarius Toney? Like, if someone's going to make a bet with me, probably I'm taking Juju. It's like, okay.
Now, Dalton doesn't have Juju in his top 50, but he does have Michael Thomas, and you don't, Andrew. I can understand people at this point just kind of throwing their hands up in the air, Dalton, when it comes to Michael Thomas, and I don't blame anybody. I don't blame Andrew for not having him in his top 50. I don't think he would make mine either. So why are we going back down this well again with him in these top 50 when there's other guys – you know, like Juju, who Andrew's made a case for, is like, hey, that's kind of the guy. He's, you know, certainly, you know, showed you last year that there were some spurts of productivity. He's shown you that. Michael Thomas hasn't shown you anything in the last 2 years.
Andrew's right that Juju will finish in the top 50 fantasy receiver this year if he's healthy. I mean, he was paid. The floor is there. There's no question about it. I just didn't rank him as such because of upside. I mean, Juju was not a helpful fantasy asset last year with 100, more than 100 targets from Patrick Mahomes. So give me Tyquan Thornton later as far as the Patriots receivers 8 days a week. Michael Thomas, who knows? He's probably totally washed. I mean, he's injured. It's been 4 years. But there's just enough upside to creep him in the back end of my top 50 receivers there. But I'm not going to go to bat too much there. I actually love Olave and even Rashid Shaheed. So, but I mean, Thomas, you know, he had some massive, massive reception years, and I just fit him into the back five of my top 50 there, but I'm not going to go to bat for the guy. Almost certainly he'll get injured again.
Two guys that you have in your top 50s respectively, but not in your own, the other person's necessarily. Alan Lazard for you, which makes a lot of sense, again, in terms of volume potentially for the New York Jets with Aaron Rodgers there, Dalton. And on your side here is Zay Flowers, Andrew, another young rookie, where you see all these rookies ranked, but Zay Flowers didn't make the top 15 consensus yet. I wonder as we get on what's going to happen. I want to talk about the last guy on ECR here, number 50 at the wide receiver position, Elijah Moore. This was a really interesting move here by the Cleveland Browns because DPJ, Donovan Peoples-Jones, he's in the last year of his contract. He could even get traded at some point. It would not shock me if they moved on from him. Elijah Moore is going to play the slot. He is certainly, I think, a good weapon for Deshaun Watson to have. Dalton, do you see an opportunity where this guy is at 50 right now, but by the end of the season, he ends up more like 24?
Oh, yeah. I was overdrafting him. I don't even want to admit how high I had him ranked last year. Just disgusting. But yeah, I think the talent is there. And if he's in the right situation, certainly comes down to how much Deshaun Watson bounces back. But a lot of upside here. Imagine if Amari Cooper's past injury history creeps up too. It could be a ton of targets. So I love Elijah Moore. I'll be drafting him on a lot of teams. I do not have a strong take on Watson. He's being drafted like a top 12 fantasy QB. Like, people are going to expect him to take that step, but I really don't have a take there. I could see that one going either way, but given the range of outcomes, Elijah Moore, I think, certainly worth it where he's going in drafts.
Andrew, what do you think about Elijah Moore too? Another guy that could be, you know, flying up these tiers as we get closer and closer. You know, it's only May as we're having this first discussion. I'm sure by August, this is going to look a little different when it comes to Moore. Don't you agree?
I hope not. I want to keep drafting Elijah Moore where he's really, really cheap. So, look, I'm definitely buying into Elijah Moore this year. I think that the situation last year with the New York Jets just wasn't playing in his favor. They drafted Garrett Wilson, and he kind of got pigeonholed into a backup role. Like, they had Corey Davis. They had these other guys that they weren't just going to use him. I mean, the Jets are still holding on to Denzel Mims when we're all like, guys, just like get him to a different team. Like, come on. Like, they talk about how much they love Denzel Mims and then they never play him ever. So Elijah Moore, look, we saw it his rookie year. He was a top five wide receiver in points per game. Like, he was absolutely unreal when he was featured part of that offense. And that wasn't with good quarterback play either. So you're looking at dropping him to a Browns offense that, look, you have Amari Cooper established as the number one, but it's Peoples Jones. It's Njoku. It's Elijah Moore. Like, he could step up and be the number two guy there. And when you look at where we've had success,
and there's no pass catching running back right now of note. Right. It's not like they had Kareem Hunt there in his prime anymore. Like, that role is gone. So to me, this looks like the slot receiver central, basically.
Yeah. And what did we see last time we saw Deshaun Watson with a vertical slot wide receiver? Oh, his name was Will Fuller. And he had monster games with Deshaun Watson at the helm. So I think that Elijah Moore is set up really well to succeed with the Browns. And I like him more than Kadarius Toney. Like, I was making trades in dynasty leagues. I was trading Toney just off the hype. Give me Elijah Moore. Give me a guy who's actually proven he can be on the field, play a full-time role, and be productive, not just on a per-route basis.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. All right, and obviously there's plenty of value here for guys like Elijah Moore in the Fantasy Pros Championship. So fantasypros.com/championship. Join today. Again, the promo code Fantasy Pros to get $25 off your entry. And don't forget, if you sign up by June 1st and you draft by June 15th, you get an extra $35 early bird credit as well. So go check that out. Again, it's FFPC's Fantasy Pros Championship. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at Fantasy Pros and go follow Dalton Del Don on Twitter and check out all his amazing work on Yahoo. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Dalton and Andrew, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.